Listen, everyone makes messes. It's just a part of life. And the bigger you live, the bigger the mess, if you know what I mean. That's why you need Fabuloso. With twice the active cleaning ingredients, it just completely takes the drama out of any mess. It smells great while you clean. The only way to describe it is the scent of passion. And once you're done cleaning, it lasts so long. You know, if you make a mess, you can get your home dramatically clean with Fabuloso. No worries.
Wow, all right, quick intro. It just stopped. Yo, welcome. It is a Friday night SmackDown delight. It is November 8th, 2024. It's your boy Flobo Boys, and I'm going to be in the catbird seat, breaking everything down when it comes down to the blue brand. But as always, I'm not alone. But this time, I'm being joined by somebody who flies over the world, someone who covers wrestling arts and science, somebody who was nominated for an Emmy. Please welcome Emily May.
Well, hello. Happy Friday, Flobo.
Hey.
Flobo Friday.
Woo! Oh, yeah, because the May Monday thing. I get it. I love it. So where are you today? I feel like you're always jet setting everywhere. Like, are you going to any out of town soon? Or?
No, it's kind of slowing down for the year. It's like November, December. We're getting into holiday season. So,
okay.
You know, I'm preparing just a lot of local Texas shows. So
it looks like your house, but I didn't know if you had your own like tour bus or something, and that was just the background.
Oh yeah, that's for later. Flobo, you're not supposed to tell anyone.
That Cody Rhodes.
My tour bus is waiting outside.
Dude, imagine if we had tour buses. That'd be so great. Not just being in my apartment. If you guys are watching live on that Facebook, that YouTube, the artist formerly known as Twitter, and that Twitch, please comment. We'll be having a good old time tonight because it's a Friday night. The light SmackDown coming to you live from Buffalo, New York, my home state, but definitely not my home city. Am I right? Yeah. Before we get into all that stuff, though, Emily, talk to me. What's the best thing that happened to you the past 7 days?
The best thing that happened to me in the last 7 days?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. No.
Put you on the spot.
I ate more Halloween candy.
You know what? I did not. I made a mistake because I was like, look, man, Thanksgiving's coming up. I can't say beach body. I gotta be fall body. And I skipped a Halloween and I'm regretting it. I shouldn't just stashed it for later. You know what I mean?
Yeah, honestly, the best thing to do is the trick is you buy a lot of Halloween candy expecting a lot of trick-or-treaters. You don't get any trick-or-treaters, which happened to us.
Mm-hmm.
I kept it. And now I get to give it to people all like the rest of the last few months of the year. So I'm going to bring it to shows. See, Flobo, if we were doing a show together, not virtually, I would give you some Halloween candy.
I'm kind of jealous because you get booked all the time and I don't. So it's kind of like, what show are we going to be on? They're going to book us. But besides this one, of course. Like, what show?
Let's make it happen. Flobo, yeah. We can make our own show. We don't need other people.
That's right. How's going on, everyone, in the chat there? Oh, wow. But blank Facebook user. Thanks for the guys comment.
Wow.
If you have any questions about the show, we'll definitely talk about that. But before we get into what happened on SmackDown, you gotta ask your opinion because you are the NXT expert about NXT 1 being on Wednesday and also being at the 2300 Arena in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Thoughts?
Oh, I mean, okay. So I absolutely, like, I have done New Japan shows at the 2300 Arena. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you've been, Flobo, to the show.
I'm not cool enough. Yeah.
So it's really such an incredible venue and it has such history. So I love seeing like the ECW vibe there. Like it just was really fun. And I want the NXT to keep doing these shows in these arenas that have like significance to the wrestling industry. So it's really cool. Like I saw Roxy do like sign the mural. And if you all don't know where that famous mural is, it's in the men's bathroom.
Oh, I did not know that.
So yeah, that's where it is. And I have been there. I've taken pictures in front of it. I have not signed it,
Next time you will. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, next time I'm there, I will.
So I was a little, not worried. That sounds like I'm like up at late at night going, oh my goodness. But I was interested to see how NXT was going to do the ECW thing, because the heyday of ECW was like approaching 30 years ago. I know it's the young recruits, the new blood versus this old movement. But to me, it was kind of seamless. We got a bit of something for everyone. Was there any appearance that stuck out for you? I mean, they got a whole list of guys there, the Dudley Boys, Anne Marie, etc.
I mean, I kind of loved it all. Like, I feel like what worked for me with the show is that it all seamlessly worked together. Like, they had their first like NXT hardcore match, which was really, really fun. And those are really hard to do, but you're doing it in that incredible space that has so much history, that has had some of the best hardcore matches in the industry. So I liked how they were paying homage to it, but also making it their own. And kind of exposing, because not all of these NXT superstars are aware of the impact of ECW in 2300 Arena and the significance of it. If they're coming from a different background, like gymnastics or, you know, athletic background. So I feel like it looked way bigger, because I remember doing New Japan Prison, it feels small. Like, it is crammed in there.
Yeah.
It felt way bigger than expected.
So NXT went head-to-head against AEW, and they actually won the night. Thoughts about having the Wednesday Night War again, having two shows on at the same time? Was that, like, too much? Is it like, oh, man, the good old days? How'd you feel?
No, I mean, I'm glad that they moved because I think Tuesday was a very significant day as well. I think it was important to, you know, watch what was happening and go vote. But Wednesday, you know, again, it was a microcosm of that, like, you know, Wednesday Night Wars are back, right? When they first were AEW and NXT were competing. I don't know. I don't like the competition. I don't like for everyone to keep talking about it, where they're like, we're gonna like pin these two companies together because it's two different products, different talent. So I don't know. I'm just, yeah. You know, everyone kind of pins everyone against each other for ratings and this and that. So
I'm with you. I think it was a cool treat to have them back. Yeah. So remember, we were at AfterBuzz when the first Wednesday Night War happened. Yeah. It was kind of fun seeing us all out there watching all the shows at once. But yeah, let me know that this day is AEW day, this or Dynamite day. This day is NXT day, and I'm good to go. But
Let's
talk about some news going on.
I like the schedule.
Absolutely.
So much wrestling every day that you gotta.
Yeah, I mean, you can get really burnt out, to be honest with you. You're like, oh, it's Collision. Oh, crap. Sorry, Collision. I don't really watch as much as I should. But my DVR, though, it's stacking them up. Let's get into today's news. A lot of things happening in the world of wrestling. Number one, we have a location confirmed for Elimination Chamber. Last year's Elimination Chamber was brought to use in Perth, Western Australia. This time we go to the Great North, Toronto, the Rogers Center, home of Toronto Blue Jays. It will now be the home of the Elimination Chamber. Now, I was listening to 83 Weeks this week with Conrad and Eric Bischoff, and the idea of these stadium shows was interesting, because Elimination Chamber was considered a lame duck pay-per-view about 10, 15 years ago. But Emily May, now in Toronto, now in this hotbed city, now being inside of a stadium, thoughts about Elimination Chamber being a premier show between the Rumble and WrestleMania?
I mean, I think we've talked about this previously, that from Royal Rumble to WrestleMania, that's now it's like 4 months for it. Now it's a little bit longer because it's like now the end of April, WrestleMania. So you need something kind of in the middle, right? So you have your weekly television, but you need a premium live event somewhat in the middle to kind of help catapult the next like chapter of the storyline. So again, it takes sometimes premium live events take a little while to like become the one that everyone wants to go to. And so this is kind of like the middle one between Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. I think WWE is in the space right now where every premium live event, if they pick the right city, it's going to sell out. I know that they've been wanting Toronto. They had Money in the Bank this year.
Yeah, last year.
So, and I was there, and the crowd was wild. Like the kickoff show, everything was like jam packed. And so if they continue to go to markets that don't get, say, the weekly Raw, SmackDown all the time, the premium live events are going to sell out like that. They're going to have record merch sales, and, you know, at the gate, they're going to break records. So I think it's just a smart business strategy. But like creative wise, I think it makes sense to have something in the middle on that road to WrestleMania.
Well, let me choose my next words carefully. I don't want any haters in the chat. I'm getting a lot of those.
No haters. More. Everyone, don't hate Flobo.
I mean, please hate me. Well, if you have a choosing hating me and hating you, please hate me. But what I'm saying is, with the rise of the new approach to PLEs, right, it doesn't seem now more than ever that the actual PLE can be skipped over. When I was a kid, as much as I loved 12 pay-per-views a year, you knew when it was Unforgiven or Fully Loaded, you could like save your money and know what happened afterwards. But these events all look like premiere events. The tickets are hot. WWE's on fire right now. But do you have any concern that that may bottom out soon?
You know, I think you have to keep, I mean, I know some fans that try to go to each one, each premium live event, right? Wait, that's me. No, just kidding.
And Trinidad Flag Guy. It's like you and Trinidad Flag Guy at every event.
I think they're going to add more. I think once Netflix hits and that goes and 80% of the world is going to be able to watch WWE programming, I think the need for premium live events and just larger, big arena events are going to go up because people are going to be intrigued about the product. They're going to want to know more. So I think it's just going to get even more in demand. I think it's going to get more expensive, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah.
We saw those WrestleMania prices.
I mean, 10 grand on the floor and on location. I mean, shut the long case, get your money. But I'm like, man, I can't believe I'm in a place where I can't bring like my theoretical nephew to a show. I just get on at it. I'm broke.
It's a lot. And what's interesting is so many people think the floor seats are like the best seats, mm-hmm. but they are not at a big event like that. I mean, maybe a little bit further back, but unless you're in like the first three rows, then it's good. But everyone stands up on the floor. Everyone stands up in every entrance, it's like a concert. You're always up on your feet. So if you want to stand the whole time, that's fine. works for you, but you're not going to be sitting at WrestleMania on the floor.
Yeah, real homies get level 100 or like the first rows. The first rows of the
Yeah, like if you're going to spend 20 grand, get the first or second row. That's where it's at.
Ridiculous. And now every event's going to be 3 days long. Elsewhere, WWID, which made waves last week about that relationship between WWE and some independent promotions, made their first three signings this week. So it's going to be on full throttle. Shout out to you, The Real Deal, Zeta Steel, Bryce Donovan, and Cold Brew Cappuccino Jones, making history, being the first three WWID signees. Emily May, everyone's been waxing poetic or tragic about WWE getting involved with the independent scene. You are ear to the ground in that scene alongside New Japan. What is your thought about the WWID process? And now we have our first three signees.
Yeah, I mean, I believe there's more that have been announced since the Wrestling Inc. article came out. I think online they announced a few more signees. I think this is an incredible opportunity for independent wrestlers to learn about WWE's process, because depending on what school you go to, everyone kind of teaches different things. So to have like a school designated as a place where you can learn from the best and learn about that process, see if you like it, and obviously, hopefully, make the connections that you need to. I think it's an incredible opportunity. I am very excited because Reality of Wrestling, which is Booker T's promotion, has a show on Sunday that I'm a part of.
Wow.
And we are going to be able to announce our first WWE ID talent. So we're going to be announcing that on Sunday.
Wait, so I had to go to the show to be the first to hear the Reality of Wrestling signee, if there is one, wink, wink, yes. Nudge, nudge.
There probably is. There is one, I've been told.
Mm-hmm.
There probably will be more, but we're going to be announcing it on Sunday.
Houston, what are you doing? Reality Wrestling's up the road. Go out there, yes. Check it out. Report back to me because that's way far from my house.
So I think it's really, it's a powerful program that's really never been done before in this capacity. Like it really, I feel like, I know people have been saying the negative side of it, that it's going to kill indie wrestling, all that stuff, right? But I think there's an opportunity here. And the fact, so I don't know if you noticed, Flobo, but when we get to that match, we can talk about it. But during the Bayley and Candace match tonight on SmackDown, they were talking about like the Southern California indie scene on commentary. Mm-hmm. And in my wildest dreams, I would never have thought that WWE would have acknowledged something like that. So the fact that even on commentary, things are changing. So I think that this is what this program is about, is not only like trying to identify new talent, but also like it's a new era where things that weren't allowed before are allowed now.
Yeah, I'm a graduate alum of the SoCal wrestling scene myself.
Yes, so you are. Yeah.
My job, first job in wrestling. So yeah, you're right. And the more promotions that get some exposure is good, but it remains to be seen the impact.
One of my friends wants a shout out, Flobo. One of our mutual friends in the chat.
I don't know. He's also a Dodger fan. I don't know.
Oh, go Dodgers, George.
Anyway, Fightful Select reports by way of Wrestling Inc. that Lance Onai has signed with WWE, although he is currently sidelined with an injury. Even though we don't have the timetable for the return quite yet, the young buck, no pun intended, could be involved in the Bloodline story. Thoughts about this? WWE signing even more members of this Bloodline.
I keep saying it every time I cover Raw, SmackDown, any of the shows, any of the premium live events, the Bloodline is going to continue to grow. It's going to continue to grow.
There's only one tribal chief I recognize, and it's mine.
No! What happened?
You know what it was? It was one of those bottles of like sparkling water, but it was a bottle that had like the aluminum cap. And I went to go twist it and it sliced like right through my thumb. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So I look like Solo like last year when I cut my finger with a butcher knife and I had to wear
what
like
what were you doing? Thing.
Well, I went to go do dishes and the knife like slipped underneath and I tried to grab it and I was done.
So. I thought you were like working. Shoot.
Yeah, working.
Yeah, man, it's rough. So yeah, if you got those glass bottles, make sure your cap isn't one of those aluminum caps. You're like, why do you still make those?
But yeah. Right through them, but. Just like pie tins. You can cut your hand on pie tins. People don't realize.
Oh yeah, if I cut my finger on a pie tin, I'll make up something a lot more badass. I'm sorry. I'm like, oh man, these ninjas came out of nowhere. I had to fight for my family's honor.
Scarfing my Thanksgiving pie, my
yeah,
bad.
Exactly. Yeah, I was trying to have a fat back and this pie knocked me out. We all know a great worker when we see one, and that's what the guys at 5-9 Whiskey are. Like a performer who leaves it all in the ring, the crew at Troll Co. have made a bourbon that's all about grit and sweat. You see, two old field guys figured, why not turn our daily grind into something you can sip on? And who wouldn't want a splash of hard work in their whiskey? 5-9 is made with 100% Kentucky corn, bringing you those crisp, fresh flavors with a smooth finish. They even took the trip to Owensboro, home of the 10th oldest distillery in Kentucky. They put in the work. The name 5-9 is a nod to those who clock in from 5 a.m. to 9 p.m., not the 9 to 5 life. These are the real champions who put in the sweat, tears, and more. Real life road warriors. They work hard. And now they're pouring that same energy into the whiskey. So why not grab a bottle? Help these guys out. They're literally drinking their profits. Cheers. Head to 59whiskey.com. That's FiveNineWhiskey.com. And use promo code WRESTLING20, that's 20, for 20% off your first order. Tools down, bottoms up. Yeah, let's talk about SmackDown this week. A lot of things that happened in the Bloodline era, side story, whatever you want to call it, because Roman Reigns is reeling after getting his face kicked in at Crown Jewel, looking to find a way to take down Solo once and for all. He comes out with Jimmy, but it is Jay alongside Sami Zayn that says, hey, look, we are the original family. Now, Emily May, we talked about this before we went live. I'm the biggest Sami Zayn hater on the planet, but what about you? And this thought about this, Sami Zayn being involved with the Bloodline.
Okay, first of all, Flobo, I don't know why you hate Sammy so much.
Oh, let me count the ways. One, Roman's right. He's not one of us. Two, I hate ska music. And three, that conspiracy movie was awful from a couple of years ago. And I never forgave him for it.
Oh, my God. Okay. All right. Solid answers, Flobo. But the thing is, Sammy has just wanted to feel like he's belongs to something. Again, there was some questioning about which alliance, which side of the bloodline he was going to choose. We know his answer after tonight. I like him. I'm ready for him to like be strong and step up for Roman and just show everyone what he's got.
He's not going away, is he?
No, he's not going away, Flobo, unless he gets completely destroyed.
Like I always tell people in the chat after these shows, it makes sense, just not my cup of tea. I'm just, hey, I want my Tongan and Samoans.
We talked about haters. He is the honorary Oos, okay? You gotta just accept it.
But it's a title he gave himself. Like, you can't do it. You can't say, I'm the honorary Oos. You know what reminds me of? When I was a kid, there was that whole Power Rangers thing called Power Rangers Turbo. And that kid was like, I'm a Ranger because I'm a kid. And I was like, no, you're not. You ain't the same. You ain't Tommy. You ain't Jason.
Okay, well, you have to believe the power of being a Ranger and then you become it. So I don't... Sammy is believing he is part of the bloodline.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, well, great. I'm an honorary WWE employee. But keep saying it long enough, I'll get a job that way. It's terrible.
You have abysmal. To put it out of the universe, Lobo.
Abysmal. Call it the George Hermosa says, no, they gave him the honorary Oos title. No, it was acknowledged by Roman.
Well, he wanted it, and then they accepted it. They said, yes, okay, we're giving you the title.
That is awful. Let's talk about
he is the encyclopedia of everything.
He is. So how this story ends tonight is that we have that stare down between four or five versus five, where Solo says, no, Sammy's on my side. Sammy chooses your OG bloodline. Fingers up in the air, roll credits. Now, Survivor Series : War Games is about 2 weeks away. Bloodline versus New Bloodline was a match people wanted to see for months. And about a couple months ago, I was worried that the Solo side didn't really have what they called the heat. I'm starting to change my mind. Thoughts about this, Emily May? Does this main event sell tickets for you as of right now?
100%. So I have been worried from Roman Reigns' side that it's a numbers game. You know, we've been worried. We've seen him get beat up by himself with Solo's crew taking him out. So I'm glad that now the numbers game kind of even right now, right? So I think this Survivor Series War Games match is going to be legit. This is what people have been waiting on. It's going to lead to a Roman versus Solo. Like, this is not the end. I think this is just, like, again, the next step in this trilogy of this feud.
Charles Hermosa says Roman gave Sami Zayn the honorary Usher. That's not what my tribe does. You don't get a t-shirt and become part of a tribe.
You want my shirt? You can acknowledge May. Acknowledge May.
I've seen that design. I don't want to ask any more questions about that. If you know, you know. George Hermosa says Cody joins Team OG, Rock joins Team Solo. The Rock being at Survivor Series, that's still a possibility.
Yeah, I think Cody would help Roman, and then The Rock would help, obviously, Solo.
Man, The Rock being at Survivor Series, that be seen as too early. I mean, I think for me, I'm fine with it with long-term storytelling, but it's still 4 or 5 months.
I mean, even if it just came out, depending on what happens with the match, someone is going to have to acknowledge the Tribal Chief.
Yeah. How does this end? Like, does when Roman gets Ulafala back, that's it? Like, pull the curtain?
You can't have two tribal chiefs, so one has to come out on top.
I'm rooting for Solo. I'm giving it all.
No. Boom, 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 boom. Boo.
Look, Roman abdicated his throne.
Romans, I have it right here. It's all dried up from last SummerSlam.
He abdicated his throne. He's gone. Solo carried the family into a new era when Roman was out there, I don't know, on a beach sipping Mai Tais or something. I don't know.
I don't know. Mai Tais sound good.
Yeah, they do. I don't know if he drinks, but if he did, definitely a Mai Tai guy.
Okay, but right now there's four members in each side. True. Right? So the question is, are they adding Cody and Rock and The Rock?
So
5 and 5.
I like the idea, but I also hate the idea. The Rock was one of the greatest hangling threads.
We make words here.
Yeah, absolutely. threads from last year. And of course you want to see that Cody gift play out. So it makes sense. But I also feel because Cody's a WWE champion, he should be involved in a WWE angle separate from this. Now, of course, there's nothing bigger than this bloodline thing, but also he's still the champ for a reason. So I'm torn. I really am.
Yeah. I mean, and we have to figure out and think about what is that end game? Like, how does this end? And I think that's why it is so the fans are on the edge of their seat, because we don't know how it's going to end. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes good storytelling. That's what makes us invested in what's going to happen.
Hot take. Well, I know I'm an old man at this point and wrestling isn't really for me anymore, but I hate the fact now that everything happens at WrestleMania. I want title changes at SummerSlam. I want drop kicks at King of the Ring. I want people to be unexpectedly things to happen.
We had a huge pile driver tonight. So.
We did, and we'll get to that, but I have to cut ahead because Facebook user says, what do you think about the new Women's USA title? It is confirmed. It was definitely spoiled a bit hours before, but Triple H alongside Nick Aldis on different social media platforms have announced the Women's United States Championship, a subtle title underneath the WWE Women's Championship to be on SmackDown. Nick Aldis isn't giving details on how you can earn it, but he will say it has to be earned. Emily May, a couple weeks ago, or even a couple months ago now, we had the Women's North American title at NXT. Now we get the Women's United States Championship. Thoughts about that? And this Women's IC title on the horizon.
I mean, this looked like a beautiful title. Like that reveal. I don't know, Flobo, if you're a fan. I know everyone was talking about the Crown Jewel Championship, but this one is a beauty. I'm very excited about this. I know that it's mentioned that it's, do we know it's just defended on SmackDown?
I would assume so, but it hasn't been confirmed.
Okay. So I would like to see it kind of defended across all brands. Cause I think it is. And I think there's some amazing, amazing ladies that would be great champions, but I want to know how this is going to all go down. How are they, are this in a tournament? How are we doing this? So, but I think this is, I'm glad there's another women's title. I think we need more. So this is good. I'm ready for it.
Going to put your feet to the fire. When you see that Women's United States Championship, who do you see holding the title? Maybe not first, maybe not now, but who do you see holding that championship? Like, who's it for, you know?
Oh, I know. So I was thinking about this when it was announced too. I don't know. I can, oh gosh, I don't know. Bailey.
Danny Cochran.
Bailey was kind of in the back of my head, too.
Shout out to Fire Pro Wrestling. Bailey's got to be the first U.S. champ. That's definitely
Chelsea something. Chelsea Green would be good.
Chelsea Green. Sorry, no one does that as much as Samantha did. For me. And so that's a question I have, because if there was going to be a floating title, I would assume it would be the Intercontinental. But the fact that it's a Women's U.S. title will lead me to believe that it's going to be a Raw secondary title. I don't want to get into the debate of too many titles in wrestling, because frankly it's been said for years. However, do you think there is going to be a clear division marker between the secondary and the first women's championship divisions?
I mean, I don't think there will be, because in this, I feel like it really depends on who the champion is. If you have someone that can really carry a championship and have incredible matches and really build, especially being the first, I think that's really important to establish it as a competitive title. So it could, I don't know if it would obviously outshine the women's championship, but I think it could be up there. So sure. I never, Flobo, like to put a priority on okay, this is the best title and this is the secondary. I don't like to put rankings on things like that.
I typically don't as well, so I'm with you. Except my only exception is, and I complain about this if you listen to the AEW Dynamite show when I'm on it, is the secondary title situation in AEW is kind of messy. Am I a Continental champion? Am I international champion? Am I TNT? But that's a very specific situation. But talking about women's division, let's talk about the first match of the evening, which is also from the women's division. Bayley coming back all determined. I didn't realize she was in a redemption arc, but the commentary said she was against against Candice LeRae. Talking about Bayley's win-loss record, talking about Candice LeRae getting more exposure. And it really looked like Candice was going to get the upper hand after fading that injury, but the role model came out on top. Mm-hmm. Walk me through this. Candice LeRae has been featured pretty much heavily over the past 3 or 4 weeks. Bayley trying to get back in the win column. How these two ladies move forward after tonight?
I mean, I think this is important because Candice, you know, is being like the first women's speed champion. Like the fact that she's getting more appearances on SmackDown, you know, I think this is good for her. And again, Bayley is, I guess, in this redemption arc. She's trying to like get those wins, get gold. Like it's she's kind of had a really like tough year. You know, being on top and then having it taken away from you really quickly, that's an emotional toll. So I think right now she's trying to find her space right now, and find her spot. So you could see that viciousness tonight, just that frustration. And yeah, so I definitely agree with commentary that it is kind of like this redemption arc that she's going to take names and just not, she doesn't want to deal with all the stuff that's getting in the way of what she can achieve, you know, and she's achieved so much. So it's like, what is that next achievement for her?
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. I think as a big Bayley fan, this was not a good year. I think the last 12 months was like, oh man, how's she going to lose this week? But I hope there is something there with the redemption arc. So, let's move on. Looks like Randy Orton just wanted to go a call out Kevin Owens, and call out Kevin Owens he did. But it's a little interesting for me. There was a pile driver that immediately ended the proceedings with Randy Orton being stretchered out and trying to get some feeling back in his lower extremities. Commentary was putting over the fact the pile driver was so devastating, which is kind of refreshing for me because I'm from the era where pile drivers happened all the time. But that said, Kevin Owens, he's a bad man.
Kevin, I kept saying all night, what is wrong with Kevin Owens? I mean, bringing back moves like the pile driver that have been banned for years. Talked a lot about it. I mean, the severity of the situation, like that move is very dangerous. You can get concussions. You can mess up your neck. So many people have been injured by that move. Kevin Owens needs to be put under control somehow. Nick Aldis still can't get his roster under control. So I think him, Adam Pearce, they need to talk about this because Kevin Owens has been destroying, just running through people. So I don't know. I don't know what Kevin Owens' end game is right now.
Yeah, this is just take crap. Beat people up.
We saw what you know. We saw what happened at Crown Jewel. It's like, gotta figure out what is going through his head because he can't keep doing this.
He can't. And all it was Nick Aldis, and I'm like, hey, don't do that ever again until you do it again. I don't know why I think he's the best general manager. He doesn't really stop anybody.
And you would think, as a general manager, Nick Aldis would be like, hey, security, watch the door. Hey, there's this guy, you've seen him around, just make sure he doesn't get back into the locker room or make sure he doesn't run out and cause, you know. So I feel like Kevin Owens has been getting past a lot of people.
I gotta give a shout out to Julian Floyd. He says Bayley is slowly becoming the Sting of the women's division. I'm not sure how to interpret that, but I'm always here for Bayley content. So if you want to get yourself fast tracked on the show, just talk about Bayley.
Loba loves Bayley.
Oh, Bayley is so great. When she won the PWI number one women's wrestling role a couple years ago, I bought like 5 copies. You know what I mean? Because I mean, to me, representation is so important, and she never had to be a stereotypical character. She never had to be a mamacita. She never had to sashay or be spicy. It was just her be herself. Yeah, the hugging thing was kind of weird, but like she didn't have to be like anything ethnically tied to her, and she was able to still work with anybody. That said, that's a fawn, but Kevin Owens, he's a meanie.
meanie.
Jerk. Speaking of a jerk, that Tommaso Ciampa, am I right? He's all backstage telling Johnny Gargano, focus, Blackheart style. In the match against Pretty Deadly in tag team action, DIY gets to win, but Johnny wasn't even tagged in. Can you be a tag team wrestler if you don't even tag your partner in there, Emily May?
No, Flavo, you got to tag your partner in because you are a tag team partner. Mm-hmm. And he didn't do that. So there's trouble.
Trouble with DIY.
This is the beginning of the end. I mean, how can you leave your tag team partner hanging? I think we've seen the writing on the wall the last few weeks, last few months. I think we've seen this friction building. This is not good.
I have my thoughts on Ciampa, but real quick, I was going to say, Real Annie says, Jamie, great with the U.S. title. I don't hate it, but it seems very TBS title. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I was running the promotion and you really believe in Jade Cargill, give her the biggest prize because you signed her as a star. But hey, look, I'm not going to be mad if she became U.S. champion, even though she is in a different division currently. But yeah, so DIY was actually a group I had my concerns about. NXT, they were next level. I mean, their stuff with the Revival was just still classic tag team wrestling, but nothing really worked for me on the main roster. I felt kind of cheesy. Felt they were trying to like get a crowd reaction. But this may be a little interesting where we go, hey, look, Ciampa basically saying, I remember canon, the NXT days. We have to get back to that. It could be a cool dynamic.
I mean, they have such history together. So you would think they would be able to work together. But it might be turning into, you know, a secondary chapter of their rivalry, because if they're not a team anymore, and we've talked about how like the tag team division has shifted in both brands, actually all three, they've all shifted. And there's a lot more competition in the tag team division. So if DIY is not going to be a competitive tag team anymore, then they need to go their separate ways.
Ooh. Shout out to Goodfellow, who says Ciampa getting a win for his team, giving his buddy the night off. I do that in 2K all the time. I'll say tag match, but I'll tag in nobody. It's all my heat, brother.
You and I should play. We should play together.
See, we should. Yeah. You know, Jack Farmer, he makes himself every year, and I download him and I just beat him up. It's so much fun. Don't tell him I said that. Actually, tell him I said that.
I mean, you might hear it. You know.
Speaking of tag team action, next week in Milwaukee, I believe it's confirmed. We got the tag team champions, the Motor City Machine Guns, are taking on the Street Profits, and B-Fab's in the background. She's in the match, but she's been mentioned as well. Street Profits were looking to get some gold. It's been a couple years since they were champs, but Motor City Machine Guns are the hot acquisition. Now, Emily May, I know I'm not going to ask you to do predictions. I know you're better than that, but these are both teams that need to win. Street Profits have a championship drought. Motor City Machine Guns are still trying to get themselves acclimated to the SmackDown roster. I don't know who has the advantage next week.
Honestly, I think Motor City Machine Guns has all of the advantage. They're new. They have momentum. The Street Profits have not been able to get wins that are leading to gold enough. Like, their momentum has been severely lacking. Mm-hmm. And I think they need to rethink their strategy of how they're going about this. And then now that more tag teams are getting introduced, Motor City Machine Guns are on a whole other level of momentum that I don't think the Street Profits will be able to, beat.
It's a hot take here. And I don't say this to be inflammatory or incendiary, but I don't think the Motor City Machine Guns are hitting the way it's presented as. I love their intro. I love the pyro. Yeah. You know what it reminds me of? The movie Scarface. I think I used an example of the show before. The movie Scarface with Al Pacino. Great film, one of the classics. Yeah. But the problem for me is I watched that movie after playing Grand Theft Auto Vice City. So it felt like a step back. Yeah. Motor City Machine Guns, one of the most decorated tag teams in all of tag team wrestling. But I haven't seen anything new that will put their mark on their WWE run as a team this far. I know it's limited 3 weeks. I know I'm asking for a lot, but I do think it'd be kind of cool.
No, I mean, I appreciate that take though, Flobo, because I can kind of see it both ways where, yes, they had some teasers leading into their debut. They had some little, you know, like, oh, everyone knew at a certain point, oh, the Motor City Machine Guns are going to be here. And so even though a lot of WWE Universe has potentially seen them before they came to WWE, not everyone has. So you can't just assume that the fans are going to be like, yeah, we're on board with them right away. So it takes time. So I feel like that's potentially partially what you're feeling is like they're not necessarily connecting right now to the fans.
Yeah. And that can change.
So it just takes time. But I mean, I think it's made the other tag teams step up and have to like rethink how they approach their own matches and their own moveset and their, you know. But I can see your point though, Flobo.
Yeah, I had asked Julie and Floyd to explain that Bayley is a Sting role, and I assume they, I'm not sure who that is, but I mean how Sting always is at the top of the car just below NWO and Hogan, Nash, and is how Bayley feels right now. Oh, I agree. I think we're going to get more bodies in that women's division, but there was a time where there was only like five characters that were interacting, but we saw Candice LeRae come in, and we see more of the Women's Tag Team Championship spend time on SmackDown, but you're absolutely right. In that case, I'm with you 100%. A good fellow says, I'm with you on Motor City Machine Guns. Would have liked to see a crazy finish or something fresh. Yeah, they're not bad, man, but they're just kind of like, you know.
But sometimes, like when you, because they've been a tag team for a very long time. So if you've done, you have your finisher, you have your set moves that you know have worked, just because you go somewhere else doesn't necessarily mean it's going to translate over. So that could be part of it where it's like, we've seen this stuff, like let's up the game a little bit, like you're on a different level. So yeah, maybe it just needs to be freshened up or like spruced up somehow, or
it's like a reboot. It's like you can't do too different, but you can't be the same either. Like
exactly.
Hurt Syndicate, you know what I'm saying? Let's talk about how Motor City Machine Guns got to that tag team championship opportunity next week against the Street Profits. They had a match against A-Town Down Under, which seems to me, alongside Pretty Deadly, the bottom of the tag team division, made quick work of A-Town Down Under. These are two guys, Grayson Waller and Austin Theory. It seemed 3 or 4 years ago they were destined for the moon. 6 months ago they were destined to be long-term champions, but now they can't buy themselves a win.
Yeah, A-Town Down Under struggling too.
A-Town Down.
You have to say it like you have to say it with an Australian accent.
How do I say A-Town Down?
A-Town.
They're going to tell us that Static Media, listen, all your Australian viewers dropped off. When you
like, we're offended.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the worst Australian accent ever.
We're never watching you again.
No, I mean, here's a team that we thought were going to be the face of the brand, but they just can't put two and two together.
It's, I know, and I feel like the, you know, Street Profits, A-10 Down Under, like they, I feel like there have been established tag teams that haven't found their groove, or like they found momentum and then got pushed aside, and then other teams kind of came to the forefront. So it's interesting to see kind of both of these teams struggle to get to gold.
So that raises a great question. I'm going to put Pretty Deadly in the mix too. Pretty Deadly, Street Profits, A-Town Down Under. Are they in danger of being pushed aside, being lost in the shuffle, or is this just kind of a down period for these teams?
I mean, potentially, you know, I think so. Pretty Deadly is really fun. I feel like they need like some really fun, vibrant tag teams. So I like that dynamic in comparison to some of the other teams. But I feel like if those three teams don't look at what they're bringing to the division and reevaluate, they're going to get lost. Because I think there's going to be more tag teams kind of created and formed with some of these little rivalries going on and these little side stories. I think there's going to be a lot developing the last few months. So especially going into WrestleMania, they need to be smart and think about exactly where they want to be like 3 months from now.
I am not the biggest proponent of the draft because you really can't have a good draft with two teams. But I do think one of those three tag teams needs to be broken out from that group. Mm-hmm. This is sort of like almost like pruning a tree, right? Making sure the team can
sometimes
grow.
Sometimes you got to break up to, you know, find yourself.
That's deep. That's real deep. Just play the sad song of the window. I will. What's your favorite sad song? Let me know in the chat below. I want to get some feelings after this. And don't say Call Me Maybe. I know it's kind of sad, but it's kind of upbeat too.
We're feeling the feelings, Wobo. We're feeling the feelings.
Oh man, would beneath my wings. All right, let's talk about this, our last match of the evening. Women's tag team action. The women's tag team champions, Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair. Still not a fan of the separate entrances because it always feels Jade gets cut off, but that is a side point. Takes on Nia Jax and Tiffany Stratton, a match that was created at behest of Tiffy Time herself. And well, even though Tiffany had the idea, she takes the kiss of death. Bianca gets a very forceful dub here. Emily May, 3, 4, 5 things happening. The women's tag team division, Jade and Bianca, they're firing all cylinders. Nia Jax and Tiffany Stratton may be breaking up as besties. And of course, Candice LeRae gets involved because she's also a meanie like Kevin Owens. What's up with that?
What's up with that? I love how Candice is really taking charge now. She's like, you know what? I'm getting more matches. I'm going to make a statement. So I love how Candice is getting involved. I think the Nia and Tiffany, I think they got to figure out. Tiffany needs to make a decision. Tiffany needs to figure out when she's cashing in that briefcase.
Yeah. And
we're all like waiting. Like they keep playing this. Her and Nia keep playing this cat and mouse game, right? Where she's like, oh, she's like, Tiffany asked for forgiveness. Like, oh, don't worry. That's not what I wanted to do. And we all know it's coming. We all know it's coming. So we're just waiting for that moment for them to like, they're not officially a, like really a tag team. They're more of like an alliance, I would say. So this was an interesting matchup that Tiffany wanted this. So I think it's an interesting choice that she wanted this because I don't know if I would go against the tag team champions if I didn't have a partner I would necessarily trust.
Now we've seen this kind of like, Lackey looking like they're going to take down that Tiffany's going to take out Nia Jax. Will that be considered a heel turn? I mean, they're both technically antagonists. If Tiffany Stratton cashes in on Nia Jax, we would cheer Tiffany, right?
I feel like everyone would cheer Tiffany. I feel like but is it a heel turn? I don't think it is. I don't think it's a heel turn because I think Tiffany's so likable right now. And we're just waiting for her to cash that in. And it's not necessarily a heel move or a heel turn to cash it in.
I'm gonna tell y'all right now, if you listen right now, if any one of you people out there betray me, y'all better boo. Don't be cheering my betrayal. I will feel a certain kind of way. You deserve it. Please boo.
So when I'm gonna make an Emily little person in the WWE game, and then we'll make a Flobo, and then we'll cheers.
Right. Please boo when you betray me.
Oh my goodness.
On the other side of things, Jade Cargill and Bianca, they seem to be unstoppable. No, they don't seem to be. They are unstoppable. Two-time champions. Can anyone stop the reign of Bianca and Jade?
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so watching NXT this week, I loved that the 10-woman tag match that they had. Like, I could see, I know it's NXT, but I could see any of those two women like Julia and Stephanie teaming up and taking out Jade and Bianca. I know they're still in NXT, but I have this vision down the line that potentially they could dethrone and have tag team championships.
Speaking of the tag team division, a couple weeks ago, we saw the featuring of Jakara Jackson and Lash Legend. I don't like Meta Girls. That's a kind of a dumb name, but Metaphor,
Metaphor. Yeah.
I know to say they have a slot in the tag team division seems pretty moot because the tag team division needs all the bodies it can get. But will they find a way to stick out in a way that works for them? Because they were pretty much in the background, the Metaphor, for the longest time. They're at the forefront now, but the main roster seems to be crowded with so many other bodies.
Well, but. So I think it is crowded, but I feel like they have shined the last few months on the main roster. They've been able to go and be a tag team on various brands. So I feel like they are making a statement by just doing that, by being able to do that in a very strong competitive way. So I could see them taking the titles as well.
True. And the last thread of this one here was Naomi getting involved because Candice LeRae got involved. So I guess if you're a meanie to a meanie, you're fine. It looks like Naomi and Candice LeRae are on a collision course. Now, the matches are going to bang. If you know anything about Candice LeRae and her history, it's going to be amazing. That Naomi's one of the most premier athletes ever in the women's division. But I'm going to put you on the spot here as we wind things down. If you were the general manager and you had a chance to make it a little bit spicier to have this feud or this kind of fight go down, how would you make it different for those at home?
Oh, my goodness. Between Candice
and Naomi.
And Naomi? Oh, my goodness. Well, put both of them in a shark cage.
Oh yeah, Dominic Mysterio style. I love it.
Yeah, both in a shark cage.
Yeah,
over the ring with, guess what, Flobo? With fire.
Whoa.
And you're gonna have Bailey. I'm the GM. I'm just making it up.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah,
you're gonna have Bailey and you're going to have Bailey and Nia be a team. And then you're going to have Tiffany.
Yeah, I'm with it. We're rolling.
And give me someone with Tiffany.
I don't know. You...
No. I don't know. They're all going to fight. And then whoever wins, they have to go and save their who they want out of the shark cage.
Wow.
So it's, yeah.
I would just like Naomi Candice Extreme Rules, but you're like his whole 6 months. I love it. This is why you're the GM.
Just book an Extreme Rules match. I book an extreme year.
Hey, yeah, exactly. Book for the long term and the safety of her talent. But I'm just saying, if you know Candice LeRae, she can go in those extreme matches.
Oh, yeah. Like, that's why I want to see her have these, like, wild. Oh, Meechan would be good, too. In an Extreme Rules match. Yeah.
The HBIC.
Yes, I feel like, yes, because they could like crawl up. Oh my God, I'm down. Yeah, let's book
it. I'm with it. I'm with it. We're going to war games.
War games with fire.
So this is a Friday Night Delight, the SmackDown After Show on Wrestling Inc. And thanks so much for watching with us and rolling with us and all your comments. And thanks for calling me beautiful. It means a lot to me there, sir. But Emily May, if someone wanted to connect with you or book you or see what you're up to, how do they go about doing that?
Yeah, well, thank you all so much for joining us on your Friday night. You can follow me on all social platforms at Emily May Heller.
Oh, wow. That's pretty simple. That's great. I like it. Glow and Dark Water match. I love it. And shout out to Jaden and Loa. They killed it. Cheers, chat. Yeah, so Flobo Boys here. Check me out on that X platform for now, at Flobo Boys. And, of course, I'm here every Friday, whether alongside Glenn Rubenstein or the Emmy-nominated Emily May. This is the SmackDown After Show. Like the video, share the video, comment the video, let us know what you think. I'm hitting that end stream button now.
Listen, everyone makes messes. It's just a part of life. And the bigger you live, the bigger the mess, if you know what I mean. That's why you need Fabuloso. With twice the active cleaning ingredients, it just completely takes the drama out of any mess. It smells great while you clean. The only way to describe it is the scent of passion. And once you're done cleaning, it lasts so long. You know, if you make a mess, you can get your home dramatically clean with Fabuloso. No worries.